Las Vegas, famous, fabulous playground of the West. A wide open town that never goes to sleep.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
You're either in or you're out. Right now.
My best mates are going to Las Vegas this weekend. I'm told it's incredible.
Las Vegas, here we go!
Pack your bags
and get ready for a different kind of Vegas experience with someone who knows Vegas inside and out. You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
How do you determine who is truly a world-class singer? Well, you can look at the accolades, 4 Grammy nominations, 5 gold and platinum albums. Jeffrey Osborne, I know you know that name because, quite frankly, there's a song, On the Wings of Love. As soon as you hear it, you think Jeffrey Osborne. Jeffrey, want to ask you, what's it like to have a song like that? I mean, is that like really a career height of all heights where people hear that one song and know it's you?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely... That was a career song for me, especially coming from the group LTD. That was on my first album as a solo artist. You know, when you leave something, a group that's successful and you're kind of venturing off into the unknown, you kind of never know what to expect. To have my first solo album, to have a song like On the Wings of Love, was major for me. It actually kind of, well, people knew my voice, but they didn't know my name. And it kind of marriages the two together. You know, people finally knew the name behind the voice. And so it was a major career song for me. And, you know, they don't come along that often, those kind of songs.
It makes so much sense because you were born to do this, right? I mean, like your dad was played with some of the all-time greats of jazz.
Yeah, I came from a very musical family. I'm the youngest of 12 in my family. I have 5 brothers and 6 sisters, and just about everybody sang or played an instrument. Yeah, I was kind of born for this. I started playing in nightclubs when I was 13, so I got a chance to, at 15, you know, I mean, I was playing 4 shows a night, 7 nights a week. So I was kind of groomed for it. I don't think today's singers get that kind of grooming because there's no clubs for them to develop in. I mean, it's all DJs now spinning records, but back then, it was live entertainment in all the clubs, and you got to play in front of people, and you got to do the grind. I mean, it was a grind. And so I think that's the difference between some of the singers in my era and the era before that and today's singers. They just seem to come out of the gate with no experience. They've been discovered in somebody's home studio, and they're thrown out in front of people and don't really know what to do. And then they got so many gimmicks today. I mean, anybody can be a singer today. All you need is auto-tune.
Well, it's true. And you managed, when you were with your dad, you got to see people like Sarah Vaughan. I mean, how important is that to see one of the truly greats and see how they take the craft so seriously and how it's not just about singing, it's about projecting, it's about making an identification with your audience and all that?
Oh, it's priceless. You know, I grew up in an incredible era. I got to open for Jackie Wilson when I was 15 years old in Providence, Rhode Island. So I got to talk to singers like Jackie, who were great singers, and to meet the Sarah Vaughans and to meet people that, you know, I felt were just legends in their own right. You know, to sit and talk with a Miles Davis, you know, you don't get that experience today. And they were always so open and shared so much. And again, today you see people that are very kind of guarded. They don't want to pass it along. They kind of want to hold on to it. And it's just a beautiful era to come up in. And, you know, I got a chance to be on stage. I mean, I grew up, you know, my family was always into jazz. My dad was into Clifford Brown and Miles Davis and all these great trumpet players. And, you know, my sisters were into Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Billie Holiday. And so I got a well-rounded musical education growing up. And then I was into the Motown era, you know, I had to wait to listen to my music after they all listened to what they wanted to hear.
Exactly.
And so I'm wanting to be a Temptation. I'm out on the corners with my little singing group singing to, and then later on in life to be doing shows with the Temptations and shows with the OJs and shows with Aretha and shows with Gladys. It's amazing. It's like I lived my dream, and I got a chance to meet all these people and talk to these people and share different ideas and developing developmental skills. And it was amazing. It's amazing. I'm fortunate to have come up in the time period that I came up in.
No question, but you must have had a lot of confidence. I mean, age 15, the OJ's drummer is too tired to play. They put you on there 2 weeks. That's incredible. And when you're playing the drums, Jeffrey, where you're like, I can't believe I'm up here doing this with these guys.
Well, that was all the inspiration and motivation I needed to know that I could do it. I could do this. And before then, I had my local group, and I was playing in all those clubs that these guys were coming into, like the OJ's. So being that I played in the club, the Colombo, and let me meet these guys, and I got a chance to talk to them. And they let me come up and audition, and I got the job. And it kind of let me know that I could do this. You know, they were a very big group at the time. They had albums out, and, you know, it kind of lets you know, well, if you can work with these guys for a two-week run there, that I should be able to do this. This is what I want to do. I knew then that this is what I want to do, and that I had the capability of doing it on that level.
Wow, what a gift to be able to do what you were meant to do right from the start. And then you go into Love Man Unlimited, and I guess that had to be a thing where, having done that, you know, not only did you know you were good enough, but you kind of see the way some of the best people behave on stage. And this goes back even to when you were a kid watching this stuff. So it just was natural, right?
It was very natural, yeah. And Love Man Unlimited, at the time they were called Love Man Unlimited, they were the backup group for Sam and Dave.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't know that. So they had just come off the road working with Sam and Dave for a couple of years and decided to start their own thing. And they were just working their way up the East Coast. Most of them were based in North Carolina. And I ended up running into them in Providence at a nightclub because, you know, being in Providence, there weren't a lot of black musicians that I could play with there. So when someone told me there's a 10-piece group of all black musicians playing in a club, I'm like, oh, I got to go see this.
Yeah, right. Well, and it paid off. I mean, you guys had a lot of hits. People might not remember how many hits you had.
We had a lot of hits, yeah. It was a very good group, and it was a very good group, a good live group. I mean, we were like, you know, we got kicked off of some tours because we put so much heat on people. I mean, we toured with the Commodores a lot. That was a major tour back in the day, LTD Commodores. But we did the Jackson's tour in 79 when Michael Jackson finally had his first off-the-wall album, first solo album. We toured with them, and they kicked us off the tour when we came to L.A. because we were putting too much pressure on them.
Yeah, too much excitement for the opening act.
Yeah, it was too much, yeah. So they kicked us off, and they put the Emotions on. And the Emotions were good, but, you know, they didn't have that fire in front of them, so they felt more comfortable in L.A. So, yeah, we were a good live group, a lot of great musicians. I learned so much with LTD because I got a chance to write with so many different players, you know, horn players. I would sit down and write with the trumpet player. I would sit down and write with the keyboard player, with the guitar player. I really got rounded as a songwriter, and I wrote quite a few songs with LTD.
More with Jeffrey Osborne. This is Vegas Never Sleeps.
I'm Peter Pavone, and you're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
Night's sleep. Ugh, boy. Whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less.
800-520-0735. 800-520-0735. 800-520-0735. That's 800-520-0735.
Attention, those of you looking to go on a fun vacation and see the world on the cheap. Today, the U.S. dollar is worth even more in other countries, so there's never been a better time to travel outside the USA. The dollar is worth over $1.30 in Canadian dollars, and it's the same for Australia. You can fly there today and have fun and maximize your travel dollar. Your U.S. dollar is worth over $3 in Brazilian reals, and it's worth over $18 in Mexican pesos. Plus, in Argentina, it's worth over $27 in Argentine pesos. Just think of the bargains you'll get. And the way you get the cheapest airfare to any destination is by calling Tickets That Cheap. Save up to 75% on your foreign vacation tickets. Don't wait. Call now.
802-317-1980. 802-317-1980, 802-317-1980. That's 802-317-1980.
You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps with Stephen Maggi.
You're listening to Vegas Never Sleeps, and we're speaking to Jeffrey Osborne. Jeffrey has a number of huge recordings, including his international hit that we've all heard, On the Wings of Love. Yeah, and I think just that whole thing of looking at each part of the group makes so much sense. You know, how can I bring all these things together? Because it's kind of a collaboration of sounds, right? It's not just you sit down and write words.
Exactly. But that was the beauty of it. It was a big group, you know, had a full horn section. And so you kind of learned how to build a song from the ground up. You learn about orchestration. You know, you sit with horn guys, you see how they would arrange something. You see how this keyboard player would arrange things. So you start learning orchestration, and it really, it just gives you such a solid base as you go further, you know.
Well, you were obviously ready to go solo. I mean, look at that song. But it had to take a lot of guts. Was there a little bit of, yeah, you're a confident guy, so I doubt there was fear, but there's always that wondering, is that going to make a difference, you know? I'm out there by myself.
Well, yeah. It was a big challenge for me because, you know, you don't know. You know, you're venturing off into the unknown. And there weren't a lot of people that were successful coming out of the groups. I mean, there were, of course, Lionel was successful, but he left after I did. I left LTD before he left the Commodores. And then Michael had basically left the Jacksons. Mm-hmm. But there weren't a lot of people that left groups that were successful. So it was definitely a challenge. And nobody knew my name. Everybody knew my voice, but they didn't know my, it was never Jeffrey Osborne and LTD. It was just LTD. People knew Michael Jackson, and Lionel was like the guy with Commodores. You know, the challenge was to associate the name with the voice. So that's why my first album was simply called Jeffrey Osborne, because radio would have to say, well, this is On the Wings of Love by Jeffrey Osborne from the album Jeffrey Osborne. So they'd keep having to bang the name.
Yeah.
So. So it was just associating the name with the voice. It was amazing, though, how many people did know my voice. I got lucky with the fact that I got to work with George Duke as my first producer as a solo artist. And that was a godsend. That was like just being with probably the most well-rounded person that there is musically. I mean, he was a musical genius. So I was blessed to have been put in the hands of George Duke for my first record.
Yeah, and that's so important.
Mostly all of them.
Because if the first record doesn't go, then there's always that question, well, he was a great lead singer for a group, but he's out on his own. This album, because albums mattered back then. Not as much now, but they mattered.
Albums were huge back then. I mean, they would play 4 and 5 songs off your album on the radio. They went deep on albums. They don't do that today. It was huge for me because all I had to do was come in and sing. I felt so... musically, I knew it was going to be musically sound. The whole album would be just pristine musically. I knew that, being with George Duke. So all I had to do was come in and sing. Now, I've never met a producer before that could actually give me constructive criticism. But most people would just well, you go in and sing, and they were kind of intimidated and never told me anything. Well, it's great, man. What do you want me to tell you? George would say, well, why don't you try this right here? And I would try it. I was like, oh, man, that works. Yeah. I mean, he opened my eyes to things that I hadn't been, had kind of not been exposed to before. And so I learned a lot from George. It was just incredible. And I mean, when he passed, it was a big loss for me. Well, I still dedicate every show that I do to George Duke.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And a guy like you, just talking to you, you want to get better. You know, you're not a prima donna that everybody has to, you know, play their music while they're talking to them or anything like that. You want to get better. Well, there are people out there that do that.
I know. I can't even listen to myself. I just started being able to appreciate my early albums because I would always listen to them and say, oh, I should have did this, I should have did that. I could never really just appreciate it. Now I'm at the age where now I can sit back and I can appreciate, especially when George passed, because I was able to sit back and appreciate his production, his the way he orchestrated things. I could really appreciate the songs now. I'm like, wow, this guy was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, you were talking before, too, about kind of your frustration of modern music in the sense that there isn't all this training and people aren't getting better and they're just thrown out there and so forth. And I think the whole album concept is really missed because an album like your first album, it got all parts of you. It isn't just the one single, which everybody knows.
Right. Yeah.
But they can really appreciate what you can do. And I got to think it's unfortunate that we don't have the emphasis on it the way we used to.
You know, it's crazy now because, you know, back then there were 45s. That was even precious because you had an A and a B side. So I could take a song that I didn't think would ever do anything and put it on the B side of a 45. As far as publishing and songwriting went, you got the same amount as the A side.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We called it taking a ride. So you just put a song, you take a ride on the B side. They don't have that anymore. Now you got to digitally download whatever you want. But back then, they would flip a 45 over and the B side would be coming in.
Well, that's why I think people are going to love your show because they don't realize if they just know you from the one song and they love it, yeah, they're going to hear it. It's great. But you can do all sorts of different types of music, and I think they're going to really appreciate the, you know, if they don't know you that well, how really you can do all sorts of things.
Yeah, the show that I've been doing lately is a little bit of everything. You know, I do a lot of LTD now in the show. You know, I mix it up and I have fun and I do things that aren't even mine. I'll do a taste of this and a taste of that. But, yeah, the show is pretty diverse now. We have a lot of fun with it. So I look forward to doing the shows.
Yeah, well, and it's a good mix of not just R&B, but jazz. You got funk in there. And I think that's really cool because we're kind of missing that. All the music nowadays, it's hard to find something that can really take you across a real mix of great music.
Well, I don't think music today, the music takes you on a journey today. I listened to the songs even before my era, the 50s. The songs had such beautiful verses and then a beautiful bridge and then a hook. And then, you know, it was just, it took you somewhere. These songs today, they don't even have a bridge.
Yeah.
They all sit on one chord and, you know, they do the verse off the chord. They sing a different chorus on the same chord. It's funny because in doing a new record, like the last record I just did, I had somebody had to remix them for radio because mine was too musical. And what they do is they take it and they dumb your music down and they tell me that people today can't listen to more than three chords.
Wow.
So, and I understand it when I listen to today's music. It's also basically like one, two, three chords, and that's as far. And I think that we've lost respect for the listener. They seem to think, well, these people, you know, everything is quick microwave today. You know, you got to hold their attention, boom, and you don't can't wander too much and this and that. But I think we've lost respect for the listener. I think there are people that still want to hear good music. It's just kind of sad to me where music has gone. It's kind of taken a backward seat to what it used to be. And the scary thing about it is it's It's selling more than what the music we did back in the day.
Well, it's sad because it's sort of an insult to the listener, like you say. And also, artists like yourself, I mean, this is what you do, and you're kind of limited, and that's unfortunate. You can't take chances the way you even think of back of what the Beatles used to do in albums. You know, now you can't do that anymore.
No, they it's too much for them to listen to. For some reason, they don't want to, you know, they want everything to just sit on that one chord and they're happy.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Jeff. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, too. Thank you.
Please follow Vegas Never Sleeps on all social media platforms, including Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks for listening today. This is Stephen Maggi reminding you, Vegas Never Sleeps.
Oh, Vegas, here we go!
Does your drug addiction make you feel like you're in jail and somebody threw away the key? If you're depressed and scared to death about your drug problem, we can help at the Reset Addiction Helpline. Even if you've been turned down because of a high deductible by other places, we can help. At Reset, we have access to grants from recovering addicts that want to give back and help. We'll set your treatment up in a beautiful 5-star facility so your road to happiness and a normal drug-free life can start off right. Get out of your drug addiction jail today. Call Reset and speak with a recovering addict who knows what you're going through and how to help. The call is free, and I promise it'll change your life. We're here, so call right now. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991.
Holy Gentle Giants dog food, Batman! I'm Burt Ward, Robin from the Batman TV series. I was the Caped Crusader, and now I'm the Canine Crusader. After rescuing and feeding 15,500 dogs for 23 years, my wife and I created a natural, low-fat, heart-healthy, made-in-America dog food and special feeding and care program designed to help all dogs live amazingly longer, healthier, happier lives. Our dogs are living as long as 27 healthy, active years. Yours can too. That's twice their normal lifespan and triple for some breeds. Would you like your dog to live as long as 27 years and still be active and healthy? Gentle Giants dog food is complete nutrition for all dogs and puppies, all ages and sizes, and is different from other dog foods without the greasy coating and high fat content that can shorten your dog's life. Try our Gentle Giants life-enhancing dog food for the longer, healthier, happier life of your dog.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-932-1176. 800-932-1176. 800-932-1176. That's 800-932-1176.